Web414, November 2010.
Recompile the source to Keynote. Begin. All right. Welcome to Web414. I'm going to read everything it says there. So, photo by John December. The Web414 group consists of amateurs and professionals interested in building and improving the web today and in the future. We are a diverse group including designers, programmers, publishers, and entrepreneurs, all with a common interest in creating the new web. Does everyone know that? We could create the old one. We already did, so we're working on a new one. Hey there, come on in, sit down. You didn't miss much. You can just read this real quick and you'll be caught up. All right, so just a recap. There's James. He's doing something. I don't know.
Looks like he's putting Moses in the Nile.
James, what are you doing there?
That's a Prezi back there.
Oh, there's no way that could be Prezi. It's like it's shooting out of your head, too. It's pretty wild. It's always something shooting out of your head. All right, well, it is November. I'd like everyone to give thanks this month. Thanksgiving's coming up in a few weeks, so give thanks. God, that didn't work. Okay, how about this one? Anybody know what today is? Anybody? Today? What's that? Is that a holiday? Please give thanks to our vets. They do a lot of great work keeping our cats. We could not have Catter Day without the help of these vets. So just give thanks to them. God, is this bombing that bad? Okay, anyway. Hey, look at this. So after Web414, if you're interested, Milwaukee Makerspace has invited people to stop by and check out their space, which is not officially open, but they're already holding some events there. So I might be going there afterwards. They said they'll be there till 10:30 if you want to swing by and look at their space and check out their electric cars, computer hardware, metalworking, and various other activities. They will be there for that kind of stuff. And what's next? Oh, well, you may be recorded. This thing's recording. No video today, and I don't see, is John December here? Anybody?
No?
Possibly, no. There may be no photographic evidence that this ever happened, so.
So we may not be hearing that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have this. Let's see. Gonna need this. And that. And let's hope this works. No, see, that didn't work. Data bits. Yeah, you know, this worked pretty good yesterday, but nothing today. Let's try a reset.
Yeah, you gotta go to line 23 there.
Yeah, no, see, this just isn't working very well. You think line 23?
Yeah.
Okay. Line 23, data bits, 8. Yeah, that seems okay. Doesn't that seem right?
Your T-Bot, that's your problem right there.
No, I think it is.
If you restarted your computer or plugged into the USB port.
Really?
Yeah. All right. Look in dev TT.
You know, I don't think I rebooted, but let's just take a look at what it's set to. Because that usually helps. I guess I should have got here at 5 to test all this. Huh?
So you have stage hands for it, right?
Yes, that is true. Let's see. USB modem 411. Yeah, let's change it. You're a smart man there. Okay. He's pretty excited. He'll get a little more excited if anyone happens to tweet with Web414. You get to see him go bananas. So, that's all I got. I'm done. We gotta fill 2 more hours of this. No, I'm just kidding. But if anyone wants to tweet anything with Web414, you know, we'll see what happens. Roughly every 62 seconds. So, okay. 62 seconds. That's a good number, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, it's Perl, so I couldn't get 60, obviously. All right, but 2 + 2 = 5, so let's hear who you are and what you do. Why don't we start on this side with that guy?
I'm done tweeting here, thanks.
Start on this side with that guy.
444, now I can start.
All right, let's start on this side with that guy.
Name's Josh Dean. I'm a web developer over at Acedia, as well as doing some stuff in my free time. Doing I try to do mostly front end web development, but I got into some of the back end too sometimes. I'll be presenting today, which is going to be pretty exciting.
Yes. What are you presenting at?
I can't tell you.
Okay. Another surprise. Okay.
No, I'm presenting at jQuery. Everybody knows that. They love 414.
We all know that. Everyone knows that, right? That's true. Okay. How about this guy next to you? Not really next to you, but...
Jason.
My name is Kent. I'm a developer, front-end designer, and do some back-end stuff as well. I work for General Sentinel.
All right.
My name is Dustin. I just do a little work on side work, freelance stuff when it comes to the web, web design and development stuff.
I'm Chris Larkey, and this week I'm
in
the
motion
graphics. And I live here as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited now. So, people...
You didn't stop tweeting.
People,
just keep going.
Yeah, keep going. Get one every minute. That'll be exciting. Anyway, who's next?
I'm John Lackey. I come here because it's fun.
Oh, God. You came tonight? Sorry. All right, who's next?
I am Jen Turner at Jenanerda on Twitter, and I am directoress of Bucketworks, and one of the founding members of the Bucket Brigade, which is the My name is Ash Dryden. I am Ash Dryden on Twitter, and I work upstairs at Bucket Brigade as well as a developer and a Googler and a editor.
I'm with SX, and that's my name on Twitter.
All right.
I'm AJ Chorin, AJCHORIA on Twitter. I do graphic design, web design. Just started doing it for Kramer Crassel and advertising.
He's going to do that a lot.
I'm a freelance front-end web developer and work for school.
You say Mike McAllister?
Yeah.
Not Mike McAllister.
Mike McAllister.
Yeah.
Yes.
And wait, say you do WordPress stuff? You write WordPress books? Is that what you do?
No.
Oh, that's Mike McAllister. That's right. Well, what's the chance of that? Seriously.
Are we
going to
double work?
I'm not sure.
We're going to have to like split down the media in the middle, like who's a Mike McAllister fan and who's a Mike McAllister.
We know they're going to have the ultimate WordPress showdown possibly next month. We're not sure what that means, but
yeah.
Mike McAllister versus Mike McAllister,
awesome.
The ultimate WordPress title of
Fight to the Death.
Mike McAllister. Yeah, hey, it's Mr. Rowe.
That
sums it up. All right, what else we got?
Arlen Walker. I do whatever it takes to put food on the table. This week I'm hacking Perl.
Yeah, plus one to that.
My name's Larry. I work for a small startup in Living, Washington.
No, you don't.
I don't.
You got a new job?
It's just been a while.
Yeah.
I don't seem to be getting anything done these days, but I did find a screwdriver.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Thanks.
Larry needed a screwdriver for those damn MacBooks, right?
Those are tiny screws.
Yeah. That's how Steve Jobs likes them.
I'm Joe Regan. I'm in the process of remaking myself into a whole application developer and
Did we miss anybody?
Yeah.
Go back over.
Oh, we'll go back over there now.
I'm Barbara Gandalf from Lucky Cartoon on Twitter. So I know all about Tom's beard for us day by day. And lately what I've been doing is coughing a lot. But other than that, I own a, I don't know what kind of company it is anymore. A rapidly growing little startup. Just leased office space up it. It's actually across the street from CD at Pittsburgh. Hiring
Well, you know,
I'm version 2 beta, sometimes known as RA. And right now, the two things that I'm mostly doing are pulling lots and lots of data out of an RPG2 program that's still running on a virtual system 36 inside of an AS400. I'm putting it in something real. And starting today, I am implementing a content management system called ModX to run like a interactive voice response menu system for an enterprise-grade phone system.
James Carlson, founder and director of the School Factory, co-director of Bucketworks, member of the Bucket Brigade. I build a lot of presence, build a lot of healthy, collaborative cultures inside of companies where people, unfortunately, are still using email to communicate, having meetings, working hard to change that.
I'm Bernard, the best selfist on Twitter. I'm a independent web developer and content strategist. And sometimes I do UX.
All right. Now, did we miss anybody? Me, okay. My name is Pete, also known as Raster. I sit up here because no one else will, unless someone else wants to volunteer next month, take over. Anybody?
I'll take it, I got it.
All right, cool. And I think Matt is going to be one of our presenters next.
That's like nepotism or something.
Matt, do you know what you're presenting? Monkey ass on the side. You know what you're presenting, Matt?
Someone asked me to get in GitHub.
Someone did, okay.
If you remember, like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a while. I know, I really got to pay attention this time. So I'll do my best on that. Okay, well, cool. All right, so we're done with that. So we're just going to talk briefly about Milwaukee Dev House 5. Actually, is anybody first time here or not? Holy crap, look at 3 people. Wow, okay, well, welcome, you guys. We hope you come back, but after seeing this, you might not. Anyway, Who's been to a previous Milwaukee Dev House or any sort of Dev House? Anybody here been to some? About half. Not much that right. Okay. Well, in previous Dev Houses, what we kind of did was basically we call it party with laptops. Or basically, we get together on like a Friday, Saturday night for 6, 10, 12 hours, whatever, and just work on those projects that you never get time to work on during the week, or maybe you need someone to collaborate with and you can find someone else who can help you out with an issue or teach you something new. So the goal of this specific Milwaukee Dev House, besides all that you could do, is to kind of improve the Barcamp Milwaukee experience. So, and also improve the container here at Bucketworks. Who was not at Barcamp Milwaukee 5 here, like a month or so ago? Okay, a couple people. Have you guys been to any Barcamps at all? No? Yes. What have you been? Which ones?
I was at 3.
Oh, in Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was planning on going to 5, but then the plans kind
of
changed.
Yeah, it happens. Anybody else gone to a lot of Barcamps outside of Milwaukee or Madison? Okay. You guys Chicago, I think?
Yeah.
Jen, where you been?
I was at Madison.
Okay, outside Milwaukee or Madison?
Oh, yeah,
I tend to shorten our speech sometimes. Okay, so yeah, you guys have been to Chicago. I know Bob Waldron's been to like Minneapolis. Did you guys go to Minneapolis? Anybody go to Minneapolis?
Yeah, Minneapolis isn't really Barcamp.
I know, but that's why I'm interested in it.
No, we didn't.
I think Bob's gone. I think Bob Waldron's gone. But you know, one of the things I'd like to do is look at other bar camps in other cities, because we can't, if you've only been to Milwaukee, we can't, it's kind of all we know. And I know I have a recording of Ash saying, in talking about Chicago, and you're saying like, we do it for free, bitches, we don't pay for stuff, you know. Which,
I didn't say bitches, it was a little bit more fat.
I threw that in there, I don't know if you said it, but you know, we kind of have, I mean, like you said, Minneapolis, that's not a bar camp. I mean, I think different places have their own way of doing it. Are we doing it right? Could we do it better? Are we better than everybody already? Maybe. I'm not sure. But I kind of like to look at that and see what we could do better, you know, what ideas we can kind of come up with. So how? Generate ideas. So that's the anything goes, sky's the limit thing. Because I kind of think with ideas, and look, there's all sorts of little things here. case. I
don't know that Natalie Portman is going to be one of the topics.
Yeah, well, it could be. If you bring it up, and I think even Hot Grits and Cowboy Neil got in there somehow. Yeah, they're in there too. So, and monkeys. Wow, look at the monkeys are in there too. So that's pretty crazy. Anyway, I'd like to invite everyone to come to help us build a better bar camp. You know, how can we do it better? More monkeys, maybe. I don't know. But, and as far as improving, you know, Bucket Works itself, you know, James, any ideas on that? He's not even paying attention. Jesus Christ. Are you? Okay. So I'm sure you have ideas on how to improve. Now that we've had a bar camp here, you know, how do we make it better? How do we make the space better, work better for people, you know?
Well, the biggest thing I think is going to come from what we'll try to do to improve it for Pop Camp. We really want to make every room push-button recordable. Like, that was easy, and we have a recording of what happened. Mm-hmm. So that's something we can all technically contribute to doing. If you're willing to help us, we'd love that. We can probably get a lot of the computer equipment, even cheap webcams, mics, stuff like that for free. We'd also like to make a really nice, more or less permanent agenda grid. That one's kind of been up there for a while, but make it really easy to plan the agendas, plan the experience, and...
yeah. Everybody wave. Every turn around, wave to that guy. Hello! How you doing? We're very inviting here. Join our community. Okay.
We noticed that there's a lot more sessions than we had rooms, and we can easily have even more sessions than we tried to have. So setting up some more session rooms would be kind of cool. Like putting up some art that we make, you know, would be really fun. Even if it's just components. If you go to the makerspace, you will see the way that they decorate, and it involves circuit boards. It'd be kind of fun to do that here in some places as well. But really, I would welcome any of you to come up with whatever ideas might make the place more useful to you for an event like that. We're trying to get some more sound dampening material because it sounds kind of bright, and some just recordings here I think would be really valuable. It'd be nice to be able to look at every session at bar camp after it happens, even if you couldn't go to everyone, or you had to go to one and one to be at another, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, it would be great is maybe like the light shining right down, something like that.
Yeah, lighting. We'd like to improve the lighting as well.
But the like the recording stuff, when we went to Madison, you know, I wasn't involved with helping run it. So what I did, actually, I had two video cameras and an audio recorder. So what I did is said, you know, kind of like see that session? I set up a camera. I set up another camera and then a recorder and wanted to go to. So I was really covering four sessions at once. And for Barcamp Milwaukee 5, I had a recorder which could run for 30 hours. Gabe had one. I really didn't do any video because, again, that's just one more thing plus trying to organize things. But we can pull together the equipment and just kind of need some people, I think, to help cover capturing the event. And I think it is important to capture it because we want to share what we're doing with people and we want to be able to watch it ourselves. For, you know, if something comes up and you miss bar camp, oh shit, I really wanted to see that talk. Well, you know, you can possibly see it then if someone gets off their ass and dumps all that video and audio like me. So yeah, and as far as the anything goes, sky's the limit. I've taken a little bit of liberties, I think, with the Bucket Works space to kind of let people go crazy. And, you know, I mean, what if there were, you know, 50-inch displays on every wall in every room? And I was like, oh shit, we can't afford that. But I kind of put that stuff aside and just start big, thinking big, and, you know, scale it down to what we really can do. So what I want to start doing is I've already started collecting some, you know, a bunch of websites, links, just images, some different magazines. I've been tearing out pages. And for DevHouse 5, I want to just bring all that shit up, put it on the walls, show it on the projector, present it, and just talk about it and say, here's some ideas. I mean, what if this wall, maybe not this wall, were, you know, painted orange instead of white? I don't know. Are you guys going to keep it all white? Or are you going to change the thing? Or, you know?
It's color plan.
It's color. Okay, cool.
Prime at
first. Prime at first. Yeah. So, I mean, does this sound, people have been talking about, you know, using RFID tags or QR codes or, digital badges that cost a heap of money, but maybe get someone to, a PA system where you could cover the whole damn building to make an announcement instead of running around, monkeys maybe, monkey in every room. But yeah, I mean, does anyone have any crazy, insane ideas they want to toss out now or not? Or you want to save it for...
When is Milwaukee
Death House 5? That's a good question. When is it, James? It's Friday, December 3rd. Friday, December 3rd.
Until midnight.
Yeah. Haven't you been invited yet?
It just wasn't on your slides.
No, shit, no. I didn't even think of it. Yeah. Maybe someone else did these slides that would be on there.
It's on Facebook. It's on the Bucks website. It's on the Bucks website. So you don't necessarily have to remember the date.
I heard there was a happy hour beforehand.
Is it sponsored by who's sponsoring that?
I think Microsoft is sponsoring that, right?
Oh, cool. All right.
Personally, I work
over. Yeah, and there's amazing sponsorship opportunities from Milwaukee Dev House 5, obviously.
Amazing.
And again, if you're not interested in doing this shit, then, you know, just show up anyway and do your own shit and sit in the corner and, you know, yeah, we'll try not to bother you.
Can I ask James and the director's question? Is the place
staying
dry?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a little warm.
It's
a little warm, though.
Structural things.
No.
You know,
thank for half of the years. We made it through June for the first time in 3 years. So.
Yeah.
And the heat works, right? The heat is working. I'm pretty
obviously
sure.
Obviously, the heat is also working.
Excellent.
Kitchen off or
Steve
on?
Great.
All right. Well, that's excellent. All right, then. So any other any questions on this whole DevHouse thing? Anybody?
It's a totally casual event. Like, it's a bunch of people get together, sit around a table, hang out. I mean, it's like 1-4-4, but, you know, in miniature. There's not only
but everybody talks
longer. It's like a party with laptops.
It's like a bar camp.
It's like a mini bar camp, yeah.
Mini bar camp.
Without sessions, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the hangout part of bar camp.
Yeah, the mini bar is all about Columbus. It's a big price tag.
Yeah, that's right.
For next year, does anybody here know who, I'll tell you in just 1 second what his name is? Jeremy Lee?
Yes.
Jerome.
Yes. The virtual reality guy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Recently did a book on 1.0. We're thinking of inviting him to come and speak here in the month of October.
Yeah.
And as part of a whole series of events that starts in July, goes through August, September, October, bar camp, maybe him being a guest, and then in November we'll have a woman named Meglit Madero performing here, who's a TED fellow, and someone you should Google, Meglit Madero, really cool. But I think it'd be fun to have him here because he's saying a lot of interesting stuff about kind of what's happening with our society and this 2.0 business and fun. So.
Yeah, I mean, we can invite anybody to bark at the first bark camp Milwaukee. I invited like Doc Searles and Dave Weiner and a bunch of people that I knew online just from back then, like, hey, it's the first bark camp Milwaukee. And I think Doc mentioned it, and like people were like, why the hell is he talking about bark camp Milwaukee? I'm like, because I invited him. Yeah, I mean, you can invite anybody, they don't have to live here. So invite that Balmer guy. No, don't invite him. Maybe not. I don't know. Milwaukee. All right. Also, just for Matt, if you look at my blog, I think there's a post that'll give you a little more info. So check on that later. Yeah, it should be published by now, I think. So, okay, so hope to see you guys at Milwaukee Dev House 5. And 10 minutes with Arlen. Yeah! Arlen, he's that guy right there. What are you going to do for us, Arlen?
Well, just a quick rundown of some weird and possibly useful things I've run into on the net.
Oh, that sounds exciting. I'm just going to move this here because, you know, he powers the monkey. Yeah, it's a monkey-powered device. I'm not saying you're a monkey. I'm not saying monkey's uncle, maybe.
For those of you unfamiliar with me, I am incapable of being serious. Yes, it will. What have I got up there? Okay, that'll work. For all of you who are wondering just what we've got in our favorite web location, Foursquare, we have here a complete alphabetic list of every badge you can get on Foursquare and what you have to do to get them. some of the good ones are here. The Bands on the Run, the Big Omaha badge, which was one of my favorites. If you check in three times, you can own Big Omaha. Has anybody seen the Hall of Fame quarterback here? This is a middle school championship game. He's either going to be a Hall of Fame NFL quarterback or an Oscar-winning actor. I'm not sure which. For those of you wanting the full story, this was the Texas Middle School Championship. And the score, final score of the game was tied, 6-6. So how would you like to be that defense?
But they wound up losing the game, didn't they?
Yeah.
Let's have some fun here. We're gonna go a little bit off color, but you know what's in those? You know what's in those youth creams? That's right, baby foreskins.
Why did we let this guy have 10 minutes?
Hold on a second. I have a question.
Yeah.
What did you have to Google to find this?
That's the interesting thing about it, you see, Ash, because I am me, these things come into my mailbox. For those of you who have everybody know who Coy Van is? Used to be media director at New York Times. He's got a blog called Subtraction.com where he takes on, for one thing, the iPad magazine apps. He considers them all to be doomed. He thinks Adobe is really damaging people right now. And just to show that I actually do read Coy's stuff, he's got another book out. This is a very good book, Grid Principles for Web Design. How to create an ordered design. Like I said, not everything's going to be weird. Some of the stuff's going to be actually useful. This is an excellent book. And if you haven't carried grids far enough, somebody had way too much time on their hands. 35 equal width columns. Yeah, possibly. You know Google TV, right?
No, what is it?
Google TV is the new TV service for the new TV hardware from Google that nobody is letting show their content. All of the major networks now. Fox was the last one. Fox was the last one to block them. I am a Ruby fan. For those of you wanting to get deep into the guts of Ruby, this is an excellent presentation. The object model for the Ruby programming language. And he does some really good work here. Burke Libby is very knowledgeable about what's going on here.
Actually, real quick, before you go back.
Okay.
Real quick.
Sure.
I really like that in the related content. You have misery, why people hate work.
Freudian, entirely Freudian. Stop Googling, says John Neunemaker. His objection is people today are not learning things because they just Google. His specific objection is for code. Somebody wanted to know if it was possible to do something with a Ruby gen. He Googled it, couldn't find any information on it. Look at the code. And he tells you here in nice, clear steps just exactly how you can look at the code of a Ruby gem and figure out for yourself what it does. It took him just a few seconds to find the answer to the guy's question.
Too long, didn't read.
Very few people know more about fonts on the internet than Paul Irish. This is a list of gotchas with the font face libraries, with font face work in CSS. The other thing you might want to enjoy when you're on Paul Irish's website.
Oh.
His entire background is a canvas background that you can draw on. And if that's not good enough for you, when you get to the bottom of the page, he leaves you some space to play for your play with your own personal Etch-a-Sketch. I am not going to play this whole thing for you. It's an hour long. But Jeremy Keith is an excellent speaker. He doesn't come through the details of HTML5. If you want to know about HTML5 elements and tags and things like this, this isn't the presentation you want to watch. This presentation is about the design principles behind HTML5. Understanding those will help you use it better. I can't make up my mind whether this particular product should go on the inside or the outside of the door. Yes, it's for sale.
That should be the locket that Walker Baker's face.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want this on the fire door, but.
Get out.
It's for the bathroom.
Go!
Yeah, this is the bathroom lock. Yeah. I can't help it. It's just one of those things. Now, most of us know what Modernizer is, the JavaScript that lets you know what the capabilities of the browser that happens to be viewing the web page. This gentleman here, James Peirce, took it one step further. He wrote some code to do the equivalent of Modernizer on the server side. So instead of downloading everything that you need for all the wide range of capabilities, you can tailor what you're sending the browser to what the browser can handle. This is a very fiendishly useful website. Think of something that you want to try to use. You check off where you want it to be, and it'll tell you what. Like, for example, which browser version it showed up in. Which version of each of the browsers it showed up in. So can you use it? Anybody ever tried to write CSS code for inline blocks? It was fun, wasn't it? Here's some help.
Larry, you just Googled it. It's like I was Googling, somebody else did it.
Chris Coyler's got a website called CSS Tricks that is very, very useful. This one is on using attribute selectors, something that'll be very handy to use for CSS 3. Luke Robleski. He's written a book on forms design, which is very good. He's one of the best note takers I've run into on the internet. I mean, he's worth reading just because he goes to conferences and takes notes on the presentations, and they're very good notes. Yet another HTML5 video. This one even includes a Silverlight fallback, so if you want to keep Redmond happy. I think that's about as Microsoft-friendly as I've ever been in a presentation.
You got 1 minute.
Okay, I got to warn you, there's an F-bomb coming up.
Oh, finally.
This one's from one of my favorite webcomic strips. That's XKCD, just from a couple of weeks ago.
Are you going
to
read it?
Didn't intend to, but I can if you want. Yeah.
He's basically
talking about replacing captchas with things that require you to make insightful comments. But what are you going to do when spammers upgrade their AI to make insightful comments so that they can pass this test? There you go.
I know you only have about 10 seconds, but if you could read us the name of every application in your doc.
We haven't got enough time tonight. And this is leaving Ruby on Rails for Seaside. Yes?
I just wanted to point out for, you know, if anybody happens to have an iPad and happen to want to go do the paint thing in the background on Paul Irish's site. The guy who wrote that is Mr. Dube. MrDube.com/project/harmony. That one works on the iPad.
Okay. That's it.
That's all you got.
That's all I got.
Do you want all these up somewhere where we can find them?
Yeah, I'll email them to Pete and he can post them.
There you go. That's my job. I post it. He emails me.
Oh, you better. I'll post it myself. You know.
But yeah. Web form 4, I can do it whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's next?
I think our friend James over there is gonna. She's. Yeah, I know you're looking at me. I don't know.
I was just trying to keep up with the dizzying right links.
When I let Matt...
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah. Only had 10 minutes, so...
Is my open atrium for form 4, essentially?
Yeah, is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. Let's see. It's all running. Get rid of that. And, no. What browser you want? How about Chromium? All right, then. I shouldn't be logging on that at all, so I'll give that a try.
It's so nice to see a laptop with the entire screen working.
Isn't that wild? Who's got a laptop with the entire screen working? Anybody here? Isn't that great? Oh, good. I highly recommend it.
It's lovely.
I didn't raise my hand because salary.
So, just briefly give you an overview. For the nonprofit organization that sort of sponsors all the activities of Bucketworks, Jigsaw in Seattle, we just signed on a new hackerspace in Pittsburgh called Level 1 and Pumping Station 1 in Chicago and Sector 67 in Madison. We're trying to build this online community that can link all these spaces together so that we can share information about how you make these types of places work and become sustainable, as well as, so the containers, the places, as well as the contents, which are the things like the programs and events and shows, the experiences that we do, like bar camp, meetups, classes, everything. And this is actually, I've been really working hard on this organization over the last few months because it's really starting to take off. A lot of people are getting interested in what we're doing at the federal government level and are starting to want to become a part of it. So what we're trying to do is migrate the management and updating of what we need to do away from using mailing lists and other kinds of tools that we're used to into something that's a little bit more structured. And so what we've started to do is use Open Atrium for that. Open Atrium, great tool. If you go to openatrium.com, you can check it out. It's essentially a collaboration environment for teams and groups to be able to track assignments and tasks, really work together effectively. It's the basis of the business of the Bucket Brigade. We bring Open Atrium into organizations, rip out whatever they have currently that they use for their intranet, and oftentimes rip out their email, and oftentimes rip out other things as well, and just replace it with this. And it works out really well. So what we've done is... And the basic structure of this thing is there are different groups that are used for, just different groups of people, different communities to work on different projects, different concepts. So, for example, Bucketworks has a group here, Jigsaw, some of the people we collaborate, some of our other programs like a film festival we do for high school students around here. We're planning PodCamp Milwaukee, which I hope you'll all come to. We're working on a space kit, which is basically like a bunch of documents and tools that anybody in any community could use to make a place like this and make it be sustainable. A bunch of other different groups. And then, of course, Web 414. And what we're trying to do here is, basically, you can all come and join this. It's a public site. It's open, which is part of our whole commitment to transparency as a nonprofit. We want to just tell everybody what we're doing, up to and including budget numbers once we get there. And so now that we're kind of in the Web 414 group, you can see there are a few pieces of functionality. There's a dashboard, which sort of shows you what's going on right now in terms of planning Web 414. A blog, which is basically blogs. The workflow we like to use is, blogs are for kind of raising a topic and discussing it as a group, coming to some sort of consensus, and then when we're ready to take action, we might use the case tracker to actually, you know, create assignments and tasks and so forth. So, for example, with planning bar camp, there's just dozens and dozens of little things that we got to do. Got to order food. We got to call sponsors. We have to clean the space up and get make sure everything's set up and ready and working. So this gives us a place to organize all of that. And then a notebook feature, which is like a wiki. Anybody can edit these pages, but it's got a bit of a hierarchy to it, so we can make changes and keep track and create a bit of a structure to it. So as you can see, Pete is a heavy contributor. He's been blogging about what we'll be doing for the December. I think somebody's actually ringing the doorbell. December 2010 meeting. It looks like Matt is committed to presenting. Details to follow. PodCamp Milwaukee. So this just gives us a chance to, you know, post out a topic, plan these events. So if you want to plan a Web 4 and 4 of your own or host one, this would be a great way for you to do it. As you can see, we post all these different responses and replies, and that just keeps everything organized in one place.
So I'm begging you to join it because I can't
do it. Yeah. The dashboard will also show you, you know, recent comments and discussion points that have been raised by different folks, the recent activity in the group. And so here we are, like, in the Web 4 and 4 group, seeing all the recent activity there. If you go all the way up to the top level of the School Factory Atrium site, you'll see all the recent activity across the entire website. So there's been, you know, mostly Web 4 and 4 activity lately, but a lot of stuff going on in BucketWorks. We're getting planning Black Friday event. If you want to bring your friends down the day after Thanksgiving, you should come and hang out with us on November 26th from 2 to 5, and you can make things, build things, instead of going to the stores and spending lots of money and buying lots of stuff, or in addition to doing those things. But you can get involved with helping us plan this as well, just by joining in the Atrium site. So I'll just give you a quick tour. I'll show you the case tracker. This is handy right now. We're using it to organize the different activities as far as planning for next year's bar camp, planning for Dev House, really any kind of thing we're planning. And why this is useful is, I don't know if you've been on any mailing lists before where there are action items, there are things people need to do, it's really hard to tell what action you're supposed to take out of all the many hundreds of messages and indents and carrots and so forth. Whereas this is a very nice and simple to-do list for what comes up. And you can see on the left side here, BarCamp Milwaukee 6, Open Atrium Enhancements, and then BarCamp Milwaukee 5, some of the tasks that we had set up for that, which probably are all now needing to be done, closed out. So I'm going to click in on this spam task, and it says, and Pete's asking for help with... But the nice thing is it's easy to see, you know, who has this been assigned to? It's Ash in this case, and if I wanted to, you know, assign this to myself and post a reply... Oh,
open, wow.
What's this?
He ghosted himself.
Okay. Hi, Pete. Actually, no, let's not say anyone's name because Atrium does that for us. Let's go for a culture of brevity. Let's see. I'll talk to our AI programmer and see if there's a way to clean up.
See, if this for me, I would have said, I got this shit.
Yeah.
Well, I can't help but notice that Dennis is open right now. I spent, what did it say, a week?
A week.
A week, wow.
Yeah.
I think it'd be
close
then.
Yes.
You do you?
Yes.
So the way this thing keeps us all in the loop, and really the critical and probably capstoning moment in this brief presentation, is the notion of notifications. Right now, this will send an email to whoever's name is checked. And so they'll get a, you know, by default, they'll get an email message that says, hey, someone has updated this case, go in there, click the link and figure out what action to take and so on. I'm going to not send an email just out of courtesy to others. And now there's kind of a nice, you know, log that, hey, it got reassigned, someone's working on it, that kind of stuff. So the idea is we can just keep track easily of what it is we need to do in order to get this community to continue to grow, have cool events, you know, bar camp and other things go well. There's also an event calendar, you know, not meant to replace our friendly Google calendars or website calendars, but in fact augmented, and we've been adding the events that are coming up in Web 4 and 4's life to this. Part of the reason why I would love it if you would all come and join and participate here as we plan for future Web 4 and 4 events is because this is a very powerful tool for us to raise funds to support the activities of this nonprofit organization. Very few nonprofits have anything like this kind of technology. In fact, we part of our business is teaching them how to do it. I'll give you one more example. The Milwaukee Latino Health Coalition is using Atrium to plan and link all of its different organizations together. So I'll show you this as an example. People who are trying to, you know, get health benefits for people who don't have them are using this to coordinate, to share their meeting minutes, to, you know, keep each other on the same page. And the reason why we're trying to do this is because it's very powerful to go to a funding organization and say, hey, you want to know what we're doing? It's all there. You can go look at every single piece of what we're doing, and people seeing that there's this thriving community of participants who are contributing and helping out really helps us to raise funds, which in turn helps us improve this place and helps us improve Web 4 and 4, which we've had a lot of ideas for how to do this, like, for example, free food. You know, it'd be very easy for us showing all the activity of this organization to a funder to just get them to, like, pay for there always to be food when we have these meetups, and always for there to be food at Dev House or Bar Camp or something like that. So there's a practical reason why I'm asking you to do it, which is so that we can get funding for all the things that we're doing. Another cool example I'll show you, just to give you an idea of the breadth of what we've been doing with Open Atrium, is I'll show you a different one, because this one's a little bit more active. We've been doing this with schools, actually going into schools, teaching teachers how to use Open Atrium. If I can just remember where it is. Oh, that's right. This is the Professional Learning Institute, which is a local high school, project-based kind of place. So they don't teach using direct instruction where they lecture kids and tell them to remember stuff. It's instead where they, you know, you learn by doing projects, completing projects, and then showing off the results of your work. So in their Atrium site, they have a staff group where they keep track of, like, all the actions and tasks that they need to do. You know, they share stories of their success as teachers and coordinate scheduling. And also they have a students group, which I won't show you because there's names of individual students there, but that's where they basically keep track of all their students, and they use Atrium to log all the details of every interaction they have with their students. So really exciting to see what people have been able to do with this technology, which is open source, created by DevSeed. You know, just an hour or so of training with teachers really gives them a great sense of power about being able to communicate as a team internally. It's kind of cool. Any questions?
Yeah.
Anything I was supposed to do that I didn't that you wanted me to?
I don't know. Anyone interested in using Open Atrium for Web 4 and 4?
It's
in there.
Anybody? No. Yeah. So can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What's the dividing line between the Web 4.14 website that I ignore and Atrium that you'll ignore?
Yeah, that's a good question.
To me, it's like the website's like the public brand marketing.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you know, last year, months ago, people would come around and say, oh, yeah, Web 4.14 is coming up. I'd probably email like Ash and James and Jeremy and five other people and say, hey, you guys got a topic, you guys want to run it, who wants to run it, who's going to host it? And we just do, you know, a reply all between
everybody.
People, whoever the people I knew always showed up and wanted to do something. So the idea is the same idea of a mailing list is getting rid of that whole reply all bullshit and making it official. So this is kind of a step beyond that, saying anybody can join this and post and say, hey, I'd like to run the January meeting and I want to do this topic. And so this is kind of planning shit that probably wouldn't be as interesting on the public site.
for the people who just want to come and watch and don't want to be involved at all. So.
The other thing is, it's nice because this is relatively open. Over the years, had a lot of people saying, you know, how do I get involved? Like, what kinds of things do you guys need? And it's always been a handful of us over email, so it's kind of hard to break into that. Whereas with this, anybody can really join and look at it and see what's going on, pitch in where they can if they want, or to see how things run behind the scenes. So it's a lot more transparency added to the organization.
Yeah, and to get in here, just go to atrium.schoolfactory.org and click on login. It's counterintuitive, I know. Create a new account. Please use your name for your username, your email address, and then you can join these different groups that are open right now. Just join Web 414 and create a new account. You should get an email fairly shortly thereafter with login instructions that you can use to access this. And if there are other things that we're up to that you want to get involved with, this is increasingly going to be where you'll find the information on how to do that. You know, we run a whole lot of other programs out of the School Factory and Bucketworks, and we're really, in this year now, bringing this organization out into the public and saying, this is what we've really been up to all along, which is really thinking, you know, in the year 2020, what will schools look like? They won't look like these big buildings with fences around them and highly regimented homogeneous groups of young people. They will look like this, and they will, the students will look like us, and probably some young people, and probably some other people, and maybe even some aliens. So,
Hey James, why does it say moderated by Podcamp Milwaukee? What does that mean?
It just means whoever created the group maybe made the wrong choice. Probably means that the person who, it means that you can't just instantly become a member of it when you sign up. So PodCamp is another event we're planning, and here again you can see kind of all the discussion actions. There's not a lot of actions right now. We're kind of looking for sponsors and starting to build the thing out, but it's nice to be able to, you know, organize tasks in a coherent manner and keep track of things. Other questions?
Are there any bugs?
This is open source software, Pete.
So it's not evil, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Honestly, I'll tell you though, of all the things we've ever used, and we've used Basecamp, we've used mailing lists, we've used any number of technologies, and as a business, as a professional company, this has been breathtakingly easy to teach people how to use, remarkably stable. It's Drupal underneath, so it's easy to change it, make it do what we want it to do. And we have a lot of organizations that are successfully using it to collaborate and really dramatically reducing the amount of email, which is obviously the enemy here. That's what we're trying to get rid of. Just especially for things like coordinating the activities of a group of people. It's just an awkward tool for that purpose.
Monkey likes it.
Monkey likes it. So that's it. You have such a well-organized...
Take a break,
everyone.
Welcome to part two.
Awesome.
All right, let's hear about the
D3. Jake, let me get a car.
I did. Well, first of all, welcome to second hour. Happy November to everybody who's participating. I see a lot of starts with beards. I mean, it's only been like 10 days, what?
Show of hands, November?
Show of hands, November. Hey, one of my bosses, who is a woman, happens to be doing November. I promise you, she is. I still don't know what to think of it. Well, anyway, a little bit about myself. You can follow me on Twitter if you like. You can also not. I'm okay with that. I'm a graduate of UW Oshkosh as of June. I'm also on the Computer Science Academic Board. I do web development on my own time, as well as at Acedia, which is at 161 First Street, right across from Altera. And when I find the time, I assist with the debugging of the alpha of jQuery Mobile. So, tonight, I mean, that's why one of the reasons we're here, along with Atrium and 10 Minutes of Awesome. is what is jQuery Mobile, which I'll try to go a little in depth in. What it does, the anatomy of the inner workings of a page with jQuery Mobile, and if we have time, which we probably will, hands-on example. So everybody get your mobile devices out. We're going to have some fun. All right, so what is jQuery Mobile? It was introduced at JQCon 2010 last month. I really wish I could have went. The purpose of it is to provide a unified user interface that works cross mobile phone, tablet, and also still works on web browsers if somebody so chooses to use it. So not just Android and iPhones, but a wide variety of platforms. To give you an example, if you look at kind of like a before and after, if you look at Yahoo's browser grades, which they do an ABC grading standard for all browsers, it's a pretty simple chart. You have Windows 7, Mac, which also usually covers most Unix standards, and then the various browsers. And some of them have A's, some of them have B's and C's. A's, I will get into that in a minute. If you compare this to jQuery Mobile, there is a whole lot more devices and a whole lot more browsers out there and a whole lot more versions. So the ultimate goal is to, with jQuery Mobile, to provide everybody who has an A-class browser the full experience possible. B, they'll try their best, and C, well, good luck to you. You'll fall back on HTML and CSS. And to explain, an A browser is a browser that can do media queries. It's pretty simple. If you can do media queries, you're going to be able to get a lot of the fun stuff out of jQuery Mobile. B browsers are browsers that really aren't being developed for anymore, but they're still around doing pretty good, and they'll try to do bug fixes for them. C's are the ones that do not have media queries, and God help you. You're not going to get too much help and love from them. Some of the features of jQuery is, of course, it runs on jQuery 1.4.3 up. It's very lightweight. As a side project, it is only 9K compressed. Everything is automatically initialized on the page load. It's very accessible, including to screen readers, so they are able to reach a much higher level of audience. It normalizes events, touches, taps, drags. They're all different across operating systems and browsers. So they're the whole goal, and also clicks, because we want to also support non-mobile browsers. Those will be supported and normalized into touches, taps, double taps, which are all kind of fuzzy. And although it doesn't exist right now, jQuery UI Steamroller will be integrated into this. In the meantime, there are 5 themes, simply called A, B, C, D, and E, of which you can choose from. So, how does it work? Out of curiosity, how many people here know about HTML5, just from a show of hands? Keep your hands up. How many people here know about the data attribute? Yeah, if you don't, you can lower your hands. Yeah, okay. Well, you can put your hands down. The data attribute, as far as my knowledge, is something that was created because a lot of people like to put their own custom attributes on DOM tags, but technically some browsers get pissy and moany about that. So they decided to go ahead and create the data one to allow users to still put attributes on DOM tags and still have browsers be okay with it. jQuery Mobile uses this very intensely, and once the page gets loaded, it calls a mobilize function, which looks for some of these, for example, data role, theme, icon, and much more, in order to take your simple DOM and turn it into a much more pleasable beast. So speaking of the DOM, a simple page in jQuery Mobile is really as simple as this. All you have to do is include the styling, jQuery latest, the alpha release of jQuery Mobile, and you're good to go. All pages will have a data roll page, which, as you can see, is the main content of it. You will have a header content and a footer as well, which all have respective data rolls as them. A web page, not to be confused with a jQuery mobile page, can have multiple pages on them. However, they need to have IDs, that way you can transition to them. You may want to do that, especially if there's static content, in order to kind of alleviate some of the load, which brings navigation. All navigation is done hash-based. Ben Ullman wrote a nice little library to do the on-hash change event, which is used heavily in here. Whenever a hash change happens, one of two different transitions happens. There's either a local one or an AJAX one. A local one will grab a page with a page data roll with an ID respective to it, and then transition it into view while hiding the other one. An AJAX one will grab it from a source, grab the content of the data roll page, and then actually load it within the contents of the current page, so it is static in there as well. There's a couple exceptions that you can use to alleviate these. Anything that's rel external is ignored, as well as target anything. So target blank specifically will be left alone. There's various components of a page that you might want to use, as with any website. There's pages and dialogues. Dialogues are pretty much the same thing, except instead of data roll page, use data roll dialog, and it creates a pop-up for you. There's the toolbars, which has header and footer, buttons, lists, and various form elements. Two types of toolbars, header, footer. Three positions available. There's inline, which is default, which will disappear as you scroll. There's fixed, where as you scroll, it will stay. These toolbars will stay at the top or the bottom. And then there's full screen, which, for example, if you have an iPhone and you're viewing a picture, toolbars are appear, but if you tap it, it disappears, so you can view the full contents of the screen. And you can tap it again and bring it back into plain sight. There's buttons, of course. There's two different kinds. There's inline, which is kind of like a regular button on a web page. And then there is default, which takes up the whole width of the screen. You can also group buttons together with a data roll control group if you wrap them in a div. Two different types of buttons, which I forgot to mention. There's form inputs, and then you can do any anchor tag to be a button as long as you give it a data roll button. You can give icons by doing data icon with the name. There's plus, minus, delete, left, right, up, down, yada, yada, yada. With more going to be added in the future. Lists are the most powerful thing in jQuery, in my opinion. They're most commonly used everywhere we do something. I mean, you go to Google, you're getting a list of information from your searching of. You're going to iTunes, you're getting a list of your music. Your mail is a list of your mail. Thankfully, they're the most fun to play with, and they have the most options available to them. There's a standard one, and this is the first picture I can give you of jQuery Mobile if you've not seen it before. You use ord lists and unordered lists, and as long as you give the data role list view. You can page lists together, and it will automatically create pages for you. So let's say here you clicked on Bob Cabot's name. And you had another list of his mail. It would create a separate page of which you can navigate that stuff as well. You could also create list dividers with list elements of a data role list divider. Small one is the inset list, which typically you use on a page that has other content but you want to show a list with. And for this, you would just do data inset true. You could also do read-only lists, which will not have that fancy right arrow icon next to it. As you saw here before, these list items all have anchor tags. If you just don't have anchor tags, they'll just be a standard list. And then my favorite is the searchable list. All you need to do is use the data filter set to true, and jQuery Mobile will build a list area for you, and it will actually go ahead and search the contents of each of your list items and filter them out without you having to build a single bit of JavaScript logic for it. Forms, I mean, they're the same as normal forms, except there's a small hitch, and it's a fun one. They're dynamically laid out. If you have a narrower screen, say about 480 pixels or so, or less, labels are put as block elements, so they'll be stacked on top of the form elements themselves. On wider screens, such as an iPad or maybe one of the Android tablets that are out there, or gigantic Android phones that are 10 inches, that's up at an equal two-column layout. So again, you don't have to really worry too much about creating all the CSS and logic to do it for you. It will just do it for you. It utilizes divs and field sets with the data role field contained, and you would put your label and element in there. Form elements, again, this is one of the points where I had some that you could pull up. If you go to this bit.ly link, you can go ahead and play with some of the form elements that are there, and through the power of make-believe, we're going to go ahead and play with it here with my remote. So, for example, sliders, which are very popular in HTML5 and people really want. They have a really nice touch. You like candy? I do like candy. Thank you for noticing. Radio buttons. And this is using data theme C, which is more of a low contrast type one, but there's a yellow one, there's blue, there's, and then you can also create your own if you want. Checkboxes, and these are a little bit more fun. Select lists. If you have just a few things in your list, it'll go ahead and create a small list for you. If you have, like, say, every single state in America, it'll know that there's too many there for your browser, and it will give you a bigger and different type of list box to display. What else do we got here? And then also, there's another example I have here for you, for you to play with later. It is a... I didn't write this. This was written by a guy named Jeffrey Way. He created a RSS reader for all the Tuts websites out there, and you can go through and view any tutorial you want, unless, except if it doesn't work. Let's do it on NetTuts. That'll work. There you go. And it'll go through and it'll display comments. And it'll also not work. This is the magic of not writing something yourself. Well, anyway, now that makes me look silly. Like I said, it was run by a guy named Jeffrey Way. He is the editor of the Tuts websites, specifically NetTuts. And to make a long story short, at the end, the whole point of jQuery Mobile is to provide a unified user interface that is extremely easy for us as developers to utilize and make a very nice-looking website that will look good on any type of mobile platform. It's baked in with jQuery goodness. I'm sorry if you prefer Dojo. It's very lightweight in both the JavaScript itself, the CSS. The whole thing together is below about 12K, and that's just minified. I mean, and they're looking at ways to make it even smaller, and they've been finding some really good compilers that got down to, I think, about 4 at one point. The ultimate goal is to have a final release in January of next year. It's available right now to use in alpha. You can go to their website, jQueryMobile.com, and get it. You can also contribute by going to their Git, which is github.com/jQuery/jQuery-mobile. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Is this the first time that jQuery's had a CSS dependency?
No, jQuery UI, well, jQuery UI, which is a series of widgets and other things, has a bunch of CSS dependencies on it as well. That you can either choose specific themes that they create, or they also give you the ability to style it yourself, which many people decide to do. But you could also get a person like me who just finds the theme that looks best with the website I'm working on and calls it a day. And like I said, Theme Roller, which is what jQuery UI uses, will work fully with this upon its final release. In the meantime, there's just a couple of standard themes.
Is that Tony Stark?
That is not Tony Stark. Do you not know who that is? That's Tim Curry.
Oh, it is, yeah.
He's playing Wadsworth in Clue, which is what the title is from. Are you movie Amish? Okay.
Well, I just got to wait. Tom told me this TV called The Matrix. I'm about halfway through.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. Don't tell me how
that. That's the problem. Come on, only 11 other people other than me saw Clue in the theater. So.
Oh, fair. So you saw it the way it was supposed to be seen, with one ending, and not all of them.
I went to the midnight show where you got to see all three.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
That's got to be awesome.
No, it was terrible.
Oh. But it's an awesome movie, I'll say that much. At least
it's a terrible movie.
No, it's not.
It's so terrible it's got cult status, right?
Okay, fine. But Clue aside, is there any questions about jQuery Mobile?
The release, is that the full release or just beta?
The full release is for January. It's currently in Alpha 1 right now. It's been out for less than half a month.
Thanks for showing us.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm kind of blown away by
Tim Curry. That was like the only good picture I could find when I searched for Tim Curry and Clue.
Can you publish it at least? Yeah, it's online somewhere.
Yeah, I could put it on SlideShare. And I could put all the code up as well somewhere. All right.
The testing of that. You've been helping with the testing, right?
Yeah, I've been helping with the testing and fixing bugs.
How are you managing the different devices? Like, or how are they managing as a project?
Well, they've been given a lot of devices.
Okay.
Actually, I can go ahead and show you a picture that John Rasig took of all the devices he has.
Can't wait for it to load.
Yeah. This is just some of the devices that he was given. And there's like there's a whole table more.
Yeah.
So it's really a developing on the trying to develop a framework specifically for the mobile is an extremely great challenge. In fact, he gave a presentation on it. I can go back to this, and this kind of does some justice to how terrible it is. But if you look at just at these at the browser chart here, I mean, there's some of them that they're just not even going to touch.
Sure.
As much as they want to. I think it's funny that actually the native browser for Winmo 7 is still Odyssey. But at the same time, BlackBerry OS isn't, but then again, they still run an IE. It's really, really difficult because every phone does it differently. Once you got to Android, WebOS, and then the iOS that started running WebKit exclusively, it became a little bit easier, but they're still not the only ones, and there's still a lot of mobile browsers out there that don't even touch these three operating systems. I mean, Rim is a big one, and then again you get Symbian, which is the other big one. they're the other two in the top five. It's really a big challenge. A lot of it you can just deal with by, you know, standard logic, but for the JavaScript, working with the code itself principally is pretty simple, especially to debug, because they build a lot of tests, as they did with jQuery. If you look at jQuery.support, it's not that terrible as a developer. But once you get down to the nitty-gritty of it and you want to actually create jQuery mobile, then you're going to have some headaches. All right. Well, super. There's some lovely parting gifts for you. Yeah, Pete's got them for you.
Yeah, we have a floppy disk holder. If you don't trust the cloud, you don't need this. And it's not a key wall, it's actually a roller ball from... What is that roller ball? Is that a thing ball?
Is it a cue ball?
Crack ball.
I use one of those. I have it upstairs.
Yeah, those are the lamest input devices.
Disagree. I have two of them. I have two in the body check, and then the most hardy mice I've ever
owned. Wait, came or served? Never mind.